is or clock. Okay, we've had our first hand. Okay, thank you. La la la. La 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 la. Okay. It's fun, this, isn't it? Vicar, have you put your hand up? Oh, okay. Okay, has anyone not put their hand up? That's good, because we're actually at a minute and a half. Well done. I think the closest, I don't know what your name is, sir, in the blue. What's Andrew? Andrew, you are officially the winner of this competition. So round of applause for that man, please. Although Isabel Johns came an extremely close second, so no prize for the runner-up, though. I have to say, I don't know how you felt about waiting there, but I hate waiting. Absolutely hate waiting. Which is tricky when you get asked to speak on Advent Sunday. Because Advent, as I'm sure some of you will know, from the Latin word adventus, meaning coming, is a season of the Christian church, the period of expectant waiting and preparation for the celebration of the Nativity of Jesus. In other words, the period immediately before Christmas. And traditionally, it is a time when we think about preparing ourselves, practically speaking and also spiritually, for the time of Christmas. And we think about Jesus coming back again as well. We think about the second coming. But I hate waiting, as I've just said, and I'm a slightly quirky person, as some of you will know. So I've decided to turn this on its head just for today. You're not going to get the traditional Advent sermon. You've got other Sundays in Advent to have a traditional Advent sermon. You're not going to get it today, because I've been looking at these two passages that we've had read to us today, and my message to you today, this Advent Sunday 2008, is this. Don't wait. Don't wait, okay? And as I was reading through these passages, there were a number of things that I thought we shouldn't wait for, and I've chosen three to mention today, and the three are these. Don't wait for peace. I'll talk to you about that in a moment. Don't wait for gifts. And don't wait for opportunities to share Jesus. So for... excuse me. There's a very well-known brand of sportswear which have a rather good strap line in their adverts and in their publicity. And I've used it, and I often refer to the Nike principle of spirituality. And this is it. Just do it. Okay, don't wait, just do it. So don't wait for peace. People look everywhere to find their peace, don't they? And they go through a whole lifetime sometimes and then give up because they just can't find the peace that they're searching for. And they look in all sorts of places. They look to their families, their friends. They look maybe to drugs or alcohol. And they keep searching, and then sometimes very often give up. And one of the things that struck me from 1 Corinthians chapter 1 today is this verse, and it's normally the verse that I would just kind of scoot over because it's just the introduction to the rest of the passage, really. The real message is in the rest of the passage, but it says this: grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. And I was thinking, peace, it's very clear here and through the rest of the Bible, peace comes from God, only from God. And if we look at a few verses later, it says this: God, who has called you into fellowship with his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, is faithful. I was thinking, it doesn't say God will call you at some future date when it's convenient for the both of you. God has called us. Jesus has been on this earth. He has already died for our sins. And God's peace and God's salvation is available for us now. shouldn't be waiting for it. And that's the message that we've got to get out, not just in the outreach term, but every term. You know, God's peace and God's salvation, well, first of all, peace only comes from God, and secondly, it's available now, right here, right now. Don't wait to the end of your life. Don't go searching in other places. It's available here and now. And if we look at 2 Corinthians, the following book, as God's fellow workers, we urge you not to receive God's grace in vain. For he says, in the time of my favor, I heard you, and in the day of salvation, I helped you. I tell you, now is the time of God's favor. Now is the day of salvation. That's the message that we've got to be taking on board for ourselves. I don't want to wait. I mean, an eternity of peace and love and joy and hope, that sounds fantastic to me, and that'd be brilliant, but I don't like waiting. I want those things now, and I can have that peace, and I have that joy, and I can have that hope now through Jesus Christ, who died for me, to forgive me my sins. That's what I want to be telling other people that don't know the love of Jesus Christ. You do it. Follow Jesus. And do it now, because it's available right now. Secondly, don't wait for gifts. 1 Corinthians 1, verse 7 says this, therefore you do not lack any spiritual gift as you eagerly wait for our Lord Jesus Christ to be revealed. I was thinking the Corinthian church, the ultimate charismatic church, they had all the gifts they needed. They had the gifts they needed to stay close to God and to develop their relationship with God. They had all the gifts they needed in order to witness to Jesus. They had all the gifts they needed to build up the church. Each person using their gifts and working supposedly in harmony with one another. But the trouble is they didn't always use them. They didn't use them. They argued over them. Now, does that remind you of any other church in this country? Does the church argue about anything? Does the church ever argue about spiritual gifts? Does the church ever argue about other issues? You know, what's general synod and all of that? They never argue, do they? They're not divided. We're still doing it. We still argue over these things. And it's so interesting. I went to a talk the other night. It was the Archbishop of York, you see. I'm name-dropping now. But the Archbishop of York gave this really passionate talk. And he said, do you know what? I'm bored. He said, I'm actually bored with the Church of England now because we spend so many hours arguing over stuff. And day by day, there's just thousands of children dying from poverty and starvation. And he says, it's just ridiculous, the things that we argue over. And we argue over spiritual gifts very often, and the Corinthian church did that. And in fact, 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 is Paul's response. It's Paul trying to sort out this arguing over spiritual gifts. And what he's trying to say is, eagerly expect and desire spiritual gifts, because they are there, available for you now. And if they're not in operation in your life, they should be, because God wants to give you these wonderful gifts. And at Christmas, when someone gives you a gift, you don't say, I hope, well, that's very nice, but if you don't mind, I think I'll leave it for now. Maybe, you know, come back to me in the new year, and I'll consider whether I accept that gift. I hope you don't say that. I hope you say, wow, that's great, and thank you. I'm going to start using that right away. And yet we argue so much over spiritual gifts, don't we? And I don't know why, because I don't know why we're afraid of the Holy Spirit sometimes and what the Holy Spirit might say to us and what the Holy Spirit might do amongst us. Holy Spirit is God, a member of the Trinity. Holy Spirit is God. The Bible says God is love. Therefore, the Holy Spirit is love, isn't he? So what's the problem? Let's be open. Let's ask for the Holy Spirit to come every day of our lives, and let's say, do it now, Holy Spirit. I don't want to wait. I'm going to do it now. I'm going to pray now for more of you, because your gifts and your power are available now. I'm not going to argue over gifts. I'm going to use them to your glory. And lastly, don't wait for opportunities to share Jesus. Someone once said, plan ahead. It was not raining when Noah built the ark. And in preparation for this sermon, I decided to ask Malcolm about how he prepared for his wedding last September. And I asked Katie Simpson as well about how she prepared for the arrival of baby James. And so just a short little email, and then I'll use it as an illustration in my sermon at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning. And honestly, I cannot read to you what their replies were because it would take the rest of the sermon to go through it. But Malcolm, number one, decide to ask Paula's father. Choose the moment to ask her father. Ask her father. Look at rings. Try rings on. Buy rings. Get down on one knee. Propose. And then start sorting the wedding out when we get back home. Start sorting out our new home. So we've got to look for a home. We've got to view different places. We've got to make an offer on the flat. We've got to sort out the mortgage. Then we've got to sort out the wedding. We've got to find a best man. We've got to find a matron of honour. We've got to find some bridesmaids. We've got to find the ushers. We've got to draw up the wedding guest lists. We've got to cut back on the wedding guest lists. We've got to create the backup list. We've got to design the invites, approve the invites, send the invites, wait for replies to the invites. Can I just say I was the first to reply? So good. Choose the hotel for the reception. Decide the food menus. Ask Simon to preside at the wedding. Still wait for replies to invites. Choose the food. Choose the booze for the reception. Paula's got to choose the wedding dress. Paula has to try to convince Malcolm to wear pink. Malcolm is told to get real and do what he's told. Book the suit hire at Debenhams. Wait for some more replies to invites. It just goes on and on and on. And I'm sure you remember from your own weddings or from when your children were born or whatever, the amount of preparation. I was just thinking, if that's how much we prepare for a wedding or a birth or indeed a sermon, how much more then should we prepare for Jesus Christ to return? And the whole of Mark chapter 13, if you look back over it, it's about preparation, really. And there's different ways that we can fill this waiting time before Jesus returns, and I've chosen one to talk about. I suppose if it'd been the discipleship term, I might have talked about the importance of studying God's word and applying it, but it's the outreach term, and so we're looking at taking opportunities to tell other people about Jesus. And in the passage it says this: be on guard, be alert, you do not know when that time will come. There's a sense of urgency about this. If the owner of the house comes suddenly, do not let him find you sleeping. What I say to you, I say to everyone, watch. And that word watch is not a passive thing. It's an active kind of waiting, if that makes sense. You know, we've got to take the opportunities. And it reminds me of a story of an older, very successful businessman and his young apprentice. And the young apprentice says to the businessman, what's the secret of success? And the businessman says, well, you've just got to jump at every good opportunity that comes along. You've got to go for it, just jump at good opportunities. And the apprentice says, well, how will I know when a good opportunity comes along? How will I know it's a good opportunity or not? And the businessman says, you don't. You just keep on jumping. You just keep going for it. God will move when we do. When we're faithful, God will step in and he will be with us as we share Jesus with others. In Mark 13, 9-11, it says this: you must be on your guard. On account of me, you will stand before governors and kings as witnesses to them. And the gospel must first be preached to all nations. Whenever you're arrested — I doubt that that's going to happen to any of us — but whenever you are arrested and brought to trial, do not worry beforehand about what to say. Just say whatever is given you at the time, for it's not you speaking, but the Holy Spirit. And I think we're being urged to not be afraid to tell others about Jesus. And I just want to remind us all of our duty, really, to be sharing that and to be getting the word out. Because basically, we don't know when he's going to return. And by then, frankly, for some people, it may be too late. It may be too late. So don't wait for peace. Don't wait for spiritual gifts. Don't wait for opportunities to tell other people about Jesus. Don't wait. Just do it.
I thought you were going to say, don't wait, just jump. But let's jump to our feet and affirm our belief in the God who was, who is to come, who has come, who is with us now, and who will come again. So we say together in faith, holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come. We believe in God the Father, who created all things, for by his will they were created and have their being. We believe in God the Son who was slain, for with his blood he purchased us for God from every tribe and language, from every people and nation. We believe in God the Holy Spirit. The Spirit and the bride say, come. Even so, come, Lord Jesus. Amen. Now we turn to prayer.
As we turn to prayer, I have two specific themes today. The first is thanks, and the other is waiting. Father, I thank you for the neighbours we have around this church. I thank you for those who have stood up this week and been proved right in court for our civil liberties to demonstrate. I thank you for Des Kay, who lives in Crescent Road, for his braveness in standing up against the Metropolitan Police and the government in its wish to stop his demonstration about cycling. Father, I thank you that he stood up for that and for our liberties. Father, I thank you for the campaign that the Church of England has launched this Advent to help us to understand the need to wait, the need to use our resources wisely, not to spend profligately this time, but to point to you. Father, I thank you too in that vein for the event in Birmingham yesterday that led to an act of repentance for our profligacy. I thank you for the vision for that. I thank you, Father, for those who campaign for justice and for our climate. I thank you, Father, for organisations like Tear Fund and Christian Aid that tirelessly put the needs of the third world and those in poverty first. I thank you for the difference that they are making. I pray too for the negotiations in Poznan this week that they will bring more action and lead to the more important discussions in a year's time in Copenhagen. Father, I thank you for them. And Father, we thank you too for the Back to Church initiative whose figures were released this week. We thank you for the 37,000 people who came back to church this year. We thank you for that initiative, and we pray, Father, for even more. And as we pray for waiting, we're going to use a liturgy from the Iona community. You keep us waiting. You, the God of all time, want us to wait for the right time in which to discover who we are, where we must go, who will be back with us, and what we must do. So thank you for the waiting time. You keep us looking. You, the God of all space, want us to look in the right and wrong places for signs of hope for people who are hopeless, for vision of a better world which will appear among the disappointments of the world we know. So thank you for the looking time. You keep us loving. You, the God whose name is love, want us to be like you, to love the loveless and the unlovely and the unlovable, to love without jealousy or design or threat, and most difficult of all, to love ourselves. So thank you for the loving time. And in all this, you keep us through hard questions with no easy answers, through failing where we hope to succeed, and making an impact where we felt we were useless, know the patience and the dreams and the love of others, and through Jesus Christ and his Spirit, you keep us. So thank you for the keeping time, and for now and forever. Amen.
Would you please stand? In the tender mercy of our God, the day spring from on high shall break upon us, to give light to those who dwell in darkness and in the shadow of death, and to guide our feet into the way of peace. So may the peace of the Lord be always with you.
And also with you.
And let's exchange a sign of peace. Tony?
Oh, after Chris.
Peace to you.
I just popped home and they weren't awake.
Oh, right.
And their parents were silent.
I'm with you. So let's sing.